When I was putting together my first book, I did a stretch in Washington as a newspaper correspondent. And every day I went over to the Congress, that grand old benevolent national asylum for the helpless. And I reported on the inmates there.
That was Mark Twain speaking to a crowd in 1967. Well, actually, it was Hal Holbrook playing Mark Twain in 1967. Last month, Holbrook played his legendary one-man role for the last time. But it wasn't Hal Holbrook that turned Mark Twain into an American legend. It was the stories and the books. And this week, a new addendum is being added to Twain's history, thanks to a Twain scholar named John Bird, who stumbled upon an undiscovered Twain story.
The thing about the manuscript that really took his breath away, there was a little scribbled note with editorial suggestions from Twain's daughter, Susie. And that was the moment when Bird got chills down his spine and realized he was reading what was probably a description of a story Twain had actually told his little girls.
That's Mythili Rao, a producer for the New Yorker Radio Hour. She recently wrote for the New Yorker about Twain's unpublished story. It's called The Purloining of Prince Oleomargarine. Today, Twain's story is being published by Penguin Random House. The book lists Mark Twain as an author on the cover, but he also has two collaborators, Philip and Aaron Stead. Now, the Steads took some liberties in finishing this story, including making the main character black, and that's generated even more buzz around Mark Twain's posthumous publication.
The manuscript that Twain left is 16 pages long, and it kind of ends in the middle of the story. It's also, I'm calling it a manuscript, but it's really notes. These are fragments, kind of plot points, some descriptions, but there's a lot that's missing. The Steads are award-winning children's author illustrators, and they were brought on to turn these fragments into a real story. They were nervous about taking on the project because Mark Twain is such a beloved icon, and they knew they were going to have to make some choices kind of on his behalf and were worried about getting it right.
Let's listen to co-author Philip Stead talking about, in a way, collaborating with Mark Twain.
Delving too far into his catalog, it doesn't take you very long to start getting the heebie-jeebies about something that he'll have said. And he's so tricky because he can on one page seem progressive well beyond his years. And then the very next page, he'll say something that just makes you smack yourself in the forehead and say, I can't work with this guy.
But Philip Stead did work with this guy.
Yeah. So to get in the mindset of writing a Twain story, what Philip did and what he's talking about there, he read two of the three volumes of Twain's gigantic autobiography. And it gave him a sense of Twain's voice, but there were also things in there that troubled him. You know, some of his politics were really at odds with what the Steads felt was important to put in a book that's being published in 2017. I think the biggest choice that the Steads made, and maybe the boldest choice they made, was to make the protagonist of this story, Johnny, black. And that's not something that was explicitly mentioned anywhere in the manuscript.
And that's a choice that has turned out to be very controversial, especially in the context of Mark Twain's anthology and his career, his authorship of Huckleberry Finn, one of the most important novels in American history and one of the most important novels about race. Here's Aaron Stead, the illustrator, talking about her decision to make Johnny black.
In truth, the most honest answer is that it's just the way I saw him from the beginning. But also, the truth is that, you have all these fairy tales, and it's in the fairy tales we know, you see a lot of little blonde girls running around, and with this one, I wanted it to be different.
Mythili, was this problematic for people? She's right that a lot of fairy tales, traditional fairy tales, have little blonde girls running around. On the other hand, one does not necessarily take liberties with one of the greatest American authors of all time.
Yeah, I think the Steads' decision to make Johnny black came from a very honest place creatively. And, the point that Aaron makes about blonde girls running around in the fairy tales we know is a real one. The Cooperative Children's Book Center at the University of Wisconsin in Madison keeps stats every year on the number of books that are published that feature non-white characters. And in 2016, the number of books that are about black children or black characters, it's still only 8% of the 3,000 some books that are published in the U.S. every year. So, this is a real issue that there just aren't black faces in many children's books. And I think the Steads are right to want to change that.
Well, Mark Twain never shied away from issues of race at all. In fact, he dealt with them head on in more than one book. And one of the arguments here is that if Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, had wanted Johnny to be black, well, he would have done it. He would have made him black.
That's exactly what several Twain scholars told me, that Twain was never shy about these things. So one of the Twain scholars I spoke with did say, you know, it is plausible to think that Twain could have had a black character. The question is this character in this book a good representation of how Twain may have thought of a black character?
Right. Well, you spoke with David Bradley Jr., who's a novelist and essayist, about this very question.
The whole conjunction of Mark Twain and anything racial is politically loaded. Was he a racist? Wasn't he a racist? And it's sort of amusing because he is such a figure. That question isn't asked about most other writers, American writers. And I think the reason is because Twain actually did something about race, and most of them didn't.
That's David Bradley Jr., who is African-American, sort of making the point that Mark Twain was interested in race his whole life. He wasn't shy about it. And if he wanted to address race in a story, well, he would have.
Bradley felt strongly about that. And, you know, a little skeptical, to be honest, of the publisher's motives in making a character black where there wasn't any historical record for it.
Well, Mythili, you know, we've covered in the past undiscovered books from famous authors. I have to say, at times, it's exciting when they're discovered and then the story's maybe not that great. There might be a reason they never published it. Is this one good?
This book has gotten terrific reviews. And, you know, one thing that's interesting about it is, like, it clearly grew out of a story that Twain was telling his daughters. But the book that is being published is something more complicated. Mark Twain is a character in it. Philip Stead, one of the authors, is a character in it. They have a conversation about the story. They argue about the story. There are a lot of layers there. And so I can't yet imagine reading it to my young son, but I'm curious about how actual kids will respond to it. And if it brings them closer to Mark Twain and gets them excited about Mark Twain, I think that's exactly what the folks who originally found this manuscript would be excited about.
The sort of new children's book is called The Purloining of Prince Oleomargarine. The authors are Philip Stead, Aaron Stead, and a brand new author on the American scene, Mark Twain. Mythili Rao is a producer at the New Yorker Radio Hour at WNYC. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Todd.
The Takeaway is supported by Staples, offering print and marketing solutions for businesses, including color copies and presentations, booklets and manuals, signage, and more. More details at Staples stores or staples.com/copy and print. Staples, it's pro time.